Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And super happy to be here because I get to hang out with cool, fun people. And I know I say that a lot, but only because it's true. And we live in interesting times, as the saying goes. So it's super important to spend time with people that are important in your life and that make you smile. So here we are. Welcome to the British Tech Network Therapy Show. Patrice, how's it going?
Spend time with people in your life that make fun of you. Yes, good idea. I'm good. I'm good. It's very cold here. We're supposed to get some snow, or already got some snow, and I missed it. I don't know. I'm actually quite happy. I haven't seen any snow, and I'm like, I can stay that way until summer. And then we don't need snow, get snow anyway. No, I'm good. I'm getting ready for a little mini vacation, a couple days. I'll go to Spain on Sunday, Wednesday. Not very long, fun. Just a couple days in Valencia. But yeah, looking forward to that. Never been to Spain. It's crazy enough.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there's countries in Europe that I've not been to. Quite a few, actually.
You know, I shouldn't be surprised because it's like if you live in the United States, you haven't necessarily been to every single state.
Correct. Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's about the same, I think the same size. And yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, there's I've been to the UK like a gazillion times, and I'm probably going to go again in the next couple of months. But I've never been to Spain.
Really?
Yeah, never been to Spain, never been to Finland, never been to Denmark. Ireland is still on the list. A lot of Eastern Europe, like some I've been, like Poland and Romania and whatever, but I've never been to whatever, Estonia, for example. So, yeah, places to go, places to visit.
All right, well, I can't wait for our next podcast, On the Road with Patrice.
No, I'll be back by Thursday next week. So,
oh no, you'll get start a whole new thing
on the road with
pay us to get together and go on
little
vacations, road trips, train trips,
planes,
trains, and automobiles. With
Patrice. I can do on the road show, not a problem.
That's true. You have the technology.
Yes, I have the technology. I've done that already a couple of times. So. Quite a few times.
Yes, you have. From undisclosed locations.
No, very often from disclosed locations. I told you exactly where I was.
That's true. That's the part where I remind everyone, memory like a goldfish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
In many cases, yes.
Yes.
Ian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Come to the end of a busy week. I've just been running a certification program this week, so that's been fun. Had about 15 engineers been training. So up early and all that sort of thing. Man, it might turn my brain on all day, every day. Oh, dear. So relaxing now. Talking to you guys. It's a good thing. The weekend's nearly here. I've got some comedy to go to at the weekend. Anyone heard of Jimmy Carr? I'm off to see him on Saturday.
Yes.
Cool.
Jimmy Carr, you must have heard of him. Come on, he's everywhere.
I'm trying to remember what shows.
8 out of 10 Cats is the famous one of the shows he's done. We've got a panel show. Also, he's renowned for doing fairly. He has no barrier. No, there's no line he will not cross. And was made famous by recently in the last 5-6 years. He got caught doing tax fiddling with the money he made from his touring. Enough that was front page news and was mentioned by the Prime Minister of the time.
The Prime Minister of the time. Well, that's a UK thing to say.
Which month?
Exactly.
Yeah, we've learned that different, yes. And so it was, and I read his book recently, and he's a much more interesting man than he lets on. So, and I saw he was coming up in Holland, one of the big arenas there, and I thought, hell, I'll go. Mm-hmm. So I'm going on to see. That'll be fun. And then on Sunday, I fly out to, I'm heading, making my way down south to head to Romania for a week. So it should be fun.
Nice. That's going to be cool.
That
Yeah,
sounds super
it's all
cool.
good. Romania's fun. And
Awesome.
work. There we are.
All right, Tom, top that.
Let's see.
I mean, how's
I
it
can't top
going?
that. I can't top that. So when Patrice said she'd never been to Spain, I'm thinking that's a song. I know that's a song. So I put a link in the chat. It's from Three
Ooh,
Dog Night, like 50 years
nice.
ago.
Okay.
Anyway, so now I have that song in my head, and I probably will for the rest
For me, what came to mind immediately, and now I have stuck in my head, it never rains in California.
the show. Never rained in
Southern California, I think
Spain on the plains, right?
it's. Maybe.
No, the rain in Spain stays mainly on the
Oh,
plains.
that's what it is.
Oh,
But
okay.
it never rains in Southern California, and girl, don't you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it pours. Man, it pours.
Man, it
By the way,
pours.
part of that song, they say it never rains in California, blah, blah, blah. But then at some point, he sings it never rains in Southern California, which is much more accurate. We
Yes.
used to hate that song because it rains here. I live in California.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even in Southern California, it does rain.
Right, that it does occasionally.
Yes.
Yeah. We're here. Let's do some tech news. And Ian, you have the first story. And
What
I
about
feel like
Patrice?
this one was obligatory.
But with me?
Did
No,
you
I think
miss
we
me?
missed Tom, didn't we?
Oh, wait, did you miss Tom? Was one of you?
Well,
No,
yeah.
that's a link.
Ah, now it's
That's
all right.
a link to never been to Spain.
Okay,
Oh,
so
good. Oh, good. My brain was. I must have zoned out
the
briefly at
live
points
chat must
there.
not be working for me correctly, because the
I've got
first
stimulus.
thing that's there after I put in a link to links
Yeah.
is the YouTube video.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
Tom. That's a YouTube
That's
video,
Tom.
and
That's
then
me. All
Ian.
right, so then me. Sorry, it's me. That's fine.
But
Don't worry.
Tom's
All
thing
good. Did
is
we introduce
the
Tom? Was the
Spain
question?
song.
Yes, that's what we. Yes, we did. Because you
Okay,
asked him
see,
to
I
follow up
forgot.
me, so yes, we forgot. It's all right. All
So,
good. All good.
all good.
All good.
We got already
so I
coffee.
had it right.
You've got it right. My brain has got it wrong.
No, your
No.
computer's wrong, Jeff. Install
Yeah.
Linux.
Yes.
Well,
I need to
Install
install
Linux.
Linux.
Yeah.
I suppose the
Hold
thing
on.
is, I can
I
install
have to
Linux on my
download
brain.
links so I can install Linux,
Linux.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. My brain was doing installing Linux at this point, I think. I mean, to be fair, it's I brought the story, which is this week in service outages. It is
Yes.
near enough this week. Of course, Cloudflare, if you don't know, is the glue that helps you when you type in a web address, make it come fast. They are effectively a service that caches connections to web pages, networks, and they've got a large mesh edge network across the internet. It's a rough and ready
Yeah,
description.
they do way more than that, though.
Oh,
That's
they do way.
they do
That
way more
yeah,
than
I
that.
agree with it. They do
Yeah.
way more than that. I mean,
Yeah.
they do DNS services. So if you only
Yeah.
use
Cloud
one, one, one,
security.
one, one, if you use
Yeah.
four ones for your DNS, that's Cloudflare. Security, sometimes when you go to a
Yeah.
website, you say, I think that's
Yeah.
Cloudflare.
They have
So
VPN
this one,
services. They
yeah.
do like they run like they offer kind of a like storage these days, S3 or R2 it's called.
Yeah.
They do offer a lot of things, and they offer a ton of things for free.
Yes.
Didn't they get started originally or got big when DDoS attacks first
Yes,
I think
occurred
so.
and
Yes,
because
they
it's a
had
way of
that was
mitigating the DDoS attacks.
their
Yes.
claim to fame.
Yeah,
because the point,
No.
because your point moves around, so therefore you can't be DDoSed on one
Right.
particular address.
Yes. Yeah. They're also famous for using lava lamps for random
Oh,
like
right.
generators. Yeah, they have the whole wall
Oh,
in
right.
in
I
their
remember. I think I
lobby.
picked that as a cool thing
You
a
did.
couple of years
You
ago.
did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
That's right.
Cloudflare.
It's in San Francisco. Yeah.
Yep.
And what and the thing I like here is complete transparency from Cloudflare. This is what happened. There's a blog. The link I posted is to the blog. It's from Matt Price, the guy who's
Yeah.
on the CEOs of,
Yeah.
and they take us through in gory detail of where it went wrong.
Yeah.
And isn't that
Including
great?
code. Like,
Including code.
I really like that blog post because the, I mean, it starts out with, I mean, one, it is the person. It's not some PR or like the company puts a
Right.
blog post. No, it is the guy.
No.
the guy puts a post out. And then it starts out with, like, I would call it a layman's explanation of what happened.
Yes.
And then it jumps, if that's enough for you, that's where you stop. If you want more, it goes in and they show their code. Like, it's not, you would think, oh, code, secret, whatever, blah, blah. No, they show their code. They explain exactly how things work and what broke and why and what the code looks like and what the problem was and how they are now going to fix it. And then at the end, he apologizes personally to the entire, personally and in the name of his entire company, to the world, to the internet.
Yes.
That is rare.
That's rare and fantastic.
Including Unwrap. Unwrap is the culprit, right? Memory allocation.
Yeah.
I mean, that took a lot of guts to put their code up there and have people.
Exactly. Yep. And they did it. They did it not a week later, 3 weeks later, whatever. Like within 20
days. Right?
No, within 24 hours. Not even.
Within 24 hours. This is
amazing.
The way you should handle an outage. Look, this is what went wrong. This is why it went wrong.
Yeah. And it was a really interesting outage. So, I mean, people might have noticed that it went down. It depended a little bit on how, like, what services you were using, whatever. Some were fine, some were not. But, like, the problem in itself was really fascinating. So it all came back to their bot detection, like, logic. They have basically an application that outputs a bot file, let's call it. The file that gives provides some information to the network devices what a bot is and what's not, basically.
Right.
And that file is usually, what did they say, like up to 200 lines, but usually 64 or 69 or something like that. It's not a big file. But that file, through some changes in their database permissions, really funny
configuration.
Basically grew to more than 200 line. I think, what was it, 250, 300, something like that. I don't remember
doubled its size, effectively.
More than doubled the size. Like, it went beyond the limit. And that basically made all the network devices crash. And because the way it was being generated, not all, because it hadn't propagated, like that change hadn't propagated to all database servers yet, depending on which server was generating the file, because it gets generated every 5 minutes, sometimes the service might come back up and then it would crash again. Because the next time a bad file was generated and started propagating, it would crash again. Until eventually all the database servers had the new permissions, and then it completely borked. And it took them a while to figure out, because they first thought it was a DDoS attack. Because they were like, this is weird. This is behaving really inconsistently and really weirdly. This looks like someone is trying to attack us. Well, turns out, no, they were trying to attack it themselves. The scale of that is also interesting. 25 million errors, 500 errors per second.
Yes, it's crazy.
Holy fucking shirt balls.
Yes.
It's crackers numbers.
And that was only a partial outage, because they have a new network stack already, and some traffic and some customers were already on that second one, which also had a problem, but unrelated. So their status page went down because of an unrelated issue as well, which is like, it was kind of everything coming together. It was really interesting. And I watched it live, because my monitoring started going haywire and sending me error messages, 500. And then at work, we had some issues with some services. We're not even using Cloudflare directly. We were using a firewall service that relies on information from a Cloudflare like supported, backed, whatever service. And since that was not reachable, our firewall was like, oh, can't let anybody through. So you're coming from a country we don't know of. Go away.
Completely.
Yeah. So it was interesting. I watched it live as it happened, and as they tried to investigate it and coming back and going down, whatever. It was really interesting.
The thing that caught my eye was this, the pre-allocation of memory for this file.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're using Rust. Yeah.
Yeah, they set the limit to 200, which mm-hmm. is well, they say, well above their current use of 60 features.
Yeah.
And they want a limit for performance reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the error is that when it reached the limit,
it didn't handle it.
It should have. It didn't do anything.
Exactly. So. That was they explained it in the post. That's exactly. I mean, that's what they're gonna do. They're basically gonna make sure that it handles that, you know, gracefully and not completely borked.
If number of lines is mm-hmm. greater than 200, yeah. then yeah. send email to Jimmy and IT to fix mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, the new network stack, which got the same file, apparently was behaving differently. It was basically saying there's no bots,
right.
which is also right. okay, but not what, but some customers yeah. were relying on that, and then it didn't work. So,
but you know, all in all, given all these problems, mm-hmm. and when you compare it to what's the company in Seattle that crashed all the airlines?
Oh, CrowdStrike.
CrowdStrike, right?
Yes.
This
yeah.
one lasted a couple hours.
Yeah,
I mean, as you say, it was weird for like an hour. Yeah.
Yeah,
like you said, in the first hour, it was kind of up, kind of down, kind of mm-hmm. up, kind of down. Then it was kind of dead for a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah, and until they had then also they had to manually roll out they basically rolled back to a known good file. But they had to do that manually, basically. So that took a little while. Once they identified what the problem even was. So.
But they didn't have to go to every Windows machine in the world and manually do a reboot like CrowdStrike.
No.
that was pretty harsh.
Yeah, they said they handled it. They were very good. They handled it. And I mean, at the end of the day, there's so many people who are saying, how can you use Cloudflare now and whatever? We should switch away from it. And I'm like, no.
Just the opposite, right?
I mean, you should definitely plan for what if it's down. I think that is something we should all learn from it and say, okay, what if Cloudflare is down? There should be some path of, okay, let's whatever, disable this or switch over to failover, whatever, yeah. do something. No, okay, mm-hmm. if this is down, this is going to happen and this is what you're going to do. You should not rely on it. But I mean, it is a really good service. It is rock solid usually, but nothing is perfect. Right, and the benefits still outweigh. I mean, there was someone said that recently about it, like we had this Amazon outage recently, and someone said, we should now not switch away from Amazon, whatever, and maybe
what?
Some people exactly use one. We could use Azure. No, but the thing is, ultimately, both Cloudflare and Amazon have been too good at their job. Because they're super, super solid. So nobody plans for an outage because they're like, why bother,
never
right?
Happens.
Yeah,
never
so
happens.
So unlikely, why spend the money?
But
exactly,
but
it's
but
not
I
worth
would
it.
Say, I would say problems are going to happen. They're just inevitable.
Yeah.
And of course, you want to do everything you can to prevent them and have redundancies and so on.
But it also depends
on
your business.
They handle, the fact that they handled this so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if I was a bank
mm-hmm.
and all my transactions got screwed up for a couple hours, the fact that they responded so quickly, very transparent.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
it
would increase my trust in Cloudflare.
I think it did. I mean, the way they handled the incident, I mean, there was like timely, very open, very honest communications. Like basically you could go to their status page once it was back up. That one they fixed pretty quickly. and then you could really see like every whatever 30 minutes there was a new update and it's like, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. We think we found it. Oh, it turns out we haven't. Like they were very, very good in the communication side.
Yeah.
Which not everybody is. Sometimes stuff is down and you don't even get any communications. Like, is it even down? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to go to down detector to find out what's
exactly.
going on.
It's like, no, they're pretty good at that. So,
I
would say I trust
detector.
Them more. You couldn't even, that's true. You couldn't even get to down detector because they were using Cloudflare. Yeah, as I said, it depends on your business. I mean, it's like I use Cloudflare for a lot of things and I'm like, if my stuff is down, I don't care. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to invest in redundancy for that. So, I mean, yeah, I could disable them if I needed to, but I'm like, my stuff is not important enough that if it's down, it's like, it matters. Like,
I'm going to have to tinker with Cloudflare tunnels. So that was quite a nice way to do remote access back mm-hmm. into my network without exposing anything. So
I use Tailscale for that.
But yeah, that was the other thing I was thinking of. Tailscale.
Yeah, I use Tailscale, but yeah, Cloud, as I said, I use tons of Cloudflare stuff, and they're really, really good. Like, so they're good. They simply, I think, Tom, as you said, I think this made me trust them more than before. Yeah, but yeah. It also made me, I mean, it said my stuff is not super important, but I still thought about, okay, what if something happened to them? What would I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy enough.
Yeah. Cool. All right. The whole Cloudflare thing. Yeah. There must have been a lot of drinking that night.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, read the blog post and look at the diagrams. They're super interesting. Like, see how it went up and down and all of that. So,
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to mention one because there was one TechCrunch article that I found hilarious because X was, of course, also down because of Cloudflare after Elon Musk had mocked people for. For using AWS when AWS was down. So it's like irony.
Yeah.
Supposedly really some security add-on to X to make it better or something.
Yeah, I mean they're probably everybody like doing some net security, doing some caching and whatever. Like it's a good service.
Those 12 people still working on Twitter software. Yeah,
that's why they need Cloudflare. Otherwise, they couldn't do it. Otherwise, it would be down every 5 minutes. True. No, but as I said, like I just found that hilarious. That like, I mean, you shouldn't mock people for stuff like that.
No.
Except if it's Twitter. Except if it's Elon Musk. It's mocking.
Yes.
True. Fair.
Fair.
It's fair game.
Yeah.
Speaking of potentially mockable companies, Tom, tell us about your story.
My story is focused on the fact that Google and Meta are delaying plans to lay undersea cables in the Red Sea for connectivity due to political tensions and risk of doing so and working on it. And I picked a story after thinking about, you know, the US East One Amazon problem and the Cloudflare problem and people talking about choke points on the internet. Critical parts of the internet that keep our connectivity going. And the thing that interested me in this story is that in this story, they claim about 20% of global internet traffic is carried by cables that go through the Red Sea.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. And I guess it kind of makes sense because there's that connection point between Asia and Europe, which is just like the old trade routes, you know, Silk Road and everything. I guess that makes sense.
That's the digital equivalent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's in an area that has, you know, lots of risk associated with it throughout the whole Red Sea. I don't know which part of the Red Sea these cables go through exactly, but on both sides of the Red Sea.
It doesn't matter.
The guys I was talking to this week, they were saying they've been having outages in Dubai and areas around there because there's been some problems where, again, various political unrest externally from them has caused one of their major pipelines to be offline.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So for internet, so that's unsurprising.
So we found that companies like our web hosting services like AWS and Azure and Google Cloud and you know Alibaba and all those people are a bottleneck. We learned that CrowdStrike was a bottleneck. We learned that a critical point. Cloudflare is a critical point. I guess I just never really think about the fact that there are still physical fiber optic cables and copper wires that connect the internet together.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And,
massively.
And they're concentrated in certain choke points. And I'm sure there's four or five other choke points around the world where there's a
DNS
density of
DNS, for example, is also one of the choke points of the internet. That like most root servers are actually US based. So if the connection to the US was for some reason not available, you have a problem.
Right, because the whole DNS thing never really did get internationalized, did it? Wasn't there a movement five or 10 years ago to try to diffuse it across the world? And,
it's still controlled by the US, basically. The root level is still concentrated. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the root servers were not available, what would happen exactly? But I think they are still quite important. So. There's caching server everywhere, servers these days everywhere. I think any changes or whatever would be a problem, I assume.
And what about the services? So let's say some critical cable got cut, and I know we've had that in the past. How good are the systems now to reroute that traffic? How fast would it recover?
They're usually quite fast. The problem is that the bandwidth demands are so big that rerouting causes problems because now you're missing some of your capacity. It happened. I mean, we had that happen in Europe quite recently, even where, we don't know who, but supposedly Russia probably.
Oh, that's true.
Cut a cable. It happens. It happens often enough. I mean, it also happens for non-nefarious reasons. It's just sometimes cables get damaged.
The sharks chewing on them.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember an article about that a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly like that. So there is the rerouting is usually, once it's detected, it's quite quickly. We've had outages where in for example in the biggest internet hub in Europe in Frankfurt had many years ago had a problem, and within not a lot of time, maybe a couple minutes, 10-15 minutes maybe, the traffic was rerouted around it. The problem was this is a massive hub, so all the traffic now flowing through alternative routes basically overwhelmed us. So that's why a lot of it has been expanded these days to make that more redundant.
Yeah, because what you're talking about is actual computers and network servers and switches and things that get overwhelmed. So you cut a cable, that's a problem. That's the pipes get broken. But now it's like
a bridge.
All these servers.
I mean, anybody who lives in a city that has a river or something and a bridge over it, think about it. What happens if there's an accident on that bridge? There's a mess everywhere else because now everybody has to be goes around it and it's a mess everywhere all of the sudden.
Yeah, if you've got choke points, these choke points make it worse.
But it's not. I guess my point is, it's not just a choke point of more traffic going down a smaller number of fiber optic cables. It's all the computer hardware that's pushing that traffic.
Yes.
As well as a choke point.
Yeah, there's also a secondary problem. You see that a lot when you have outages like that. There's basically a lot of, actually these days services are designed a little bit better, but for a long time that was a problem. Let's say your email client is trying to send an email. Now the email server is down. Okay, now it's back up. Now all the email servers all of a sudden want to connect and send all the emails, right? And if that is not handled well, then it crashes the server again, or the bandwidth is not available because now everybody wants to do it. Or everybody wants to check for updates for an app update. And if all of them all of a sudden check at the same time, you have a problem, right? So, I mean, these days, a lot of systems are designed in a better way with exponential backoff and randomization and whatever to get that. There's a name for it. I'm blanking on it. There's a name for this phenomenon where basically everybody is jumping on the same thing.
So do they have ways of creating a queue and it's putting you on hold? All the requests,
No, you can't. It's too late. too late.
It's too late. Yeah, but
once it reaches the server, and if everybody is doing it at the same time, it's too late. No, the applications themselves do it randomly these days. Like basically everything is a little bit randomized, and that there's exponential back off with random values and whatever, just to basically make sure that not everybody's requesting at the same time. That's also the reason why your smartphone app updates don't come in all at the same time, because they're not all checking at the same time. Right. For that reason, right? So some people might get the software update right away and some might get it later. And it's not just, okay, if in case something goes wrong, we can pull it. But it's also that not everybody is requesting and downloading it at the same time.
I think it would, maybe I need to search on YouTube or something. It would be fascinating for somebody to, if they've actually analyzed the full system of the internet and all the different critical points and
I think there's researchers specialized on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be.
That's going to be studied because it's.
Yeah. It's critical infrastructure. So I think these days, every country at least in the world has an eye on that, has a plan for that, has like protections in place. Like it's critical infrastructure these days. The internet is not anymore a hobbyist. Oh, if it's down, then okay, we can't go to the next we can't connect to the bulletin boards anymore. It's not that anymore. The internet today is critical. Like if it doesn't work, half of the stuff you're doing doesn't work.
The old financial transactions that won't work, everything else that's still there, they've gone away from the old systems that need something. So
government agencies rely on like electronic communications these days. Like
It's got to be one of those things you can plan for is if you want to do disruptive warfare and things like that. That's a really great way to start.
Yeah, but that's also why it is like considered critical infrastructure and is protected and monitored, and like there's government agencies just tasked with that, making sure this infrastructure is not tampered with.
Maybe I should go out and buy one of those ham radios after all and get a Morse code just in case.
Yeah might be a good idea, like one with a hand crank.
that's like
Teresa, hold the antenna the other way.
Oh no, stand on one leg. Yes.
What is Teresa doing on the roof holding an antenna?
Shut up, I'm trying to get the weather report. oh my god. Okay, Patrice, you brought an interesting story.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Very different story. Like I usually bring some news story or whatever, but this one is a blog post from the guy behind Mastodon. So I think his name is, he's German. Eugen, I think a German.
Rochko.
Eugen Rochko. I don't know. He's German, so probably something like that. He's the CEO of, or has been the CEO of Mastodon for the last 10 years. Invented it with like a bunch of other people together, as far as I remember. Mastodon is a non-profit, right? But it's still a company. Like there's a company behind it. But he is, after 10 years, stepping down from that position. And the reasons are, like he lays it out in his blog post. It's not very long, so go read it. But it's quite interesting. He basically said, I mean, he basically realized he's not the right person anymore for this job, because it is like he gets compared to like some big names like Elon Musk or Bezos sometimes by some news outlets. Zuckerberg, like someone told him that he should challenge Elon Musk to a fight, stuff like that. But he literally doesn't have the same like money and like power and all of that they do, and like you know the internet, like anybody at all who's a little bit public does stuff, like there's like a ton of like problems that come with that, and he just realized that he's not the right person to handle that. Like they need someone else, basically. There was a Spanish newspaper that was basically telling him that he doesn't dress fashionable as Jeff Bezos, for example. So you should dress differently. Like shit like that, where I'm like, yeah, but he doesn't make the money that a Jeff Bezos matter could. I mean, he does also probably, he's a nerd. He doesn't care about dressing, I guess. Yeah, but
maybe he should dress the way that he likes to dress.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So, but like, it's like over the like 10 years, this is like little by little stuff that chips away at you. And like he had to be quite guarded with like showing vulnerability on the internet, and then like, yeah, at some point it just got too much, and so he figured out he had to change something, and this is it. So he will be handing over the ownership of the trademark and other assets to the Mastodon nonprofit, and they will have probably a new CEO, and then he will step down. Probably, I mean, he will probably still be around and on the back end and probably do shit, but he doesn't have to.
I think officially he's going to be part of the advisory board.
Yeah, something like that. I think he mentioned, but I think that is still to be decided how exactly he will be involved. Yeah, but I mean, he started the thing in his like bedroom, basically in his childhood bedroom. He writes in here, and now he's built this really thriving like community, and like he of course wants to see it succeed, and I think it's the he calls the Fediverse is an island within an increasingly dystopian capitalist hellscape.
Oh my god, that
was fantastic. Yeah, but that's I think we use Mastodon, but I don't use it very much these days, mostly because I'm trying to stay away from anything social media like. But when I use it especially for our like official accounts that we have. I think we all have, like, owe him some gratitude.
Absolutely.
So when I heard about this, one of my first thoughts was, wow, this is like the exact opposite of Matt Mullenweg.
Oh, yes.
And so for those of you that don't know, Matt Mullenweg, he is founder and still completely in charge of WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And and it has led to a what's now a multi-year just crazy drama thing where it's I'm simplifying the situation, but at this point, it's like Matt versus the world.
Yes.
It's a dumpster fire.
It's just crazy. And in contrast, here we have Eugene I do not know how to pronounce his name.
Eugen.
Eugen? Okay. So, and here we have Eugen saying that he recognizes this project is bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs people that can carry this in a healthy way. So how about if I step back and we let those people do their thing?
He's clearly dumb. He's never going to be a billionaire. No. He just doesn't know how to act like a billionaire.
Okay.
He didn't have his empathy chip removed.
That's right. Yeah.
He still has empathy.
He's also not stupid.
Still a normal human.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought they were gonna. He was gonna hand it off to another person, though. I thought John Mastodon for sure was.
Maybe.
Well, John Mastodon, his schedule's really full because he's been hanging out with his good friend Tim Apple.
Ah, true.
Yeah. Let's not talk about where Tim Apple has been recently.
No.
Oh
no. Anyhow. I'm interested to see how Mastodon progresses.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't expect we're going to see some major shakeup.
No.
I think this is going to be a very smooth transition.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly he started it, but it's been mostly a community driven and contributor driven like thing for a long time. So I'm not saying he wasn't influential. He was massively influential. He will be. I think I'm pretty sure he will stick around in some capacity. I mean, he said advisory capacity at least. He will stick around. But I said I would be surprised if he wasn't somehow somewhere involved still. just not in a public and like that position.
Yep. Hey, Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the part of the show where, okay, I rely on you all the time for so many things. And thank you for being so patient and tolerant. So anyhow, I'll just cut to the chase. Live chat, you made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Can you tell people about it, please?
Yes, I can. We have a live stream, actually, a live streaming solution. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where we're streaming this. It's really cool. It's another open source project. Also, actually, Fediverse-based. So thanks also to the guys from Mastodon because they created the protocol behind it that it's just using still. And it is called Owncast. And we stream there at live.britishtechnetwork.com. That's where you can reach it. We stream there every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, if you're interested in the Mac things. And I've heard rumors that there might be a watch show coming. So we'll see about that. I'll see about that. I've heard rumors. Don't know. Unconfirmed, but I've heard some rumblings. So we'll see. Yeah, there's a live chat next to it. So it's like YouTube. Like if you've ever seen a YouTube live stream or a, what's the other site that I always forget? Forget it. Don't know. Goldfish. the video's on the left, the chat is on the right. That's what I wanted to say. And you don't even have to register. It generates really cool names like Reverend Morpheus, for example, or the Focused Hawking. The Focused Hawking is also nice. And the Modest Swanson. Yeah, there's some good names in there. But if you don't like them, just tap on the purple thing up top, change name, there's an option there, and change it to something else. So you don't have to, but you don't need any registration, whatever. You can actually connect it to if you want to have a registered name, you can do a Fediverse-based authentication, and then you own that name. So just saying, that might be a cool thing. Mm. I see Tom, for example, did that, because I see that little check marks next to him.
Oh,
so yeah,
there's a little check mark next to your name, Patrice.
Yes,
too.
And also next to Ian's. So and probably also to yours, Jeff. So
it's the only place on the internet where I'm verified.
Yeah,
verified me.
Yeah, and you didn't even have to pay for it.
This is the place where it actually matters.
Yeah, you didn't even have to pay for it. Yeah, so you can do that if you want to, but you don't have to. We have a live transcript as well. So like, if you wanna later on. Like you're listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice or on a website, for example, and you're like, oh, what's that that like C cable link that Tom posted, for example? You can still get to the transcript, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Put in today's date click on today's date in the calendar, November 20th, 2025. Tom also puts it always in the show notes. So if you click on the episode today, there's a link on. Thanks, Tom. That's great. And then you can see what we talked about during the show. And you can go back to 2015. We have the transcripts available. So just saying. It's interesting.
And why would you not want to go and look at those? Every word is a gem.
Yeah, sometimes not. But not every word.
Not every word. Hey, Patrice, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
But both getting us modernized and telling people about it.
I'm not done yet. I have some plans.
Oh, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so also excited because Awe Technologies is our sponsor. And what they're doing is making sure we have all the resources so we can do what we do. And they're the reason why we can make a live stream happen. They're the reason why we have a server where we can have the website live and have a place for show files to live. So you can watch or listen to show recordings whenever you want. So we really appreciate Awe Technologies for everything they're doing for us. If you're not familiar with them, then either remember like a goldfish or you're not paying attention. They handle the monitoring you need on whatever your project site may be, mm-hmm. and they do a fantastic job. So you need to be able to remotely stay on top of what's happening, have video feeds, all of that stuff. That's what they take care of, and they do a great job. So go check them out and use them when find new ways to use them. Challenge them.
Yes.
Awe Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. And thank you to Awe Technologies for being our sponsor. All right, now before we hit the cool things, a PSA. Just so everyone knows, today, as Patrice has pointed out, is Thursday, November 20th. November 20th is Transgender Day of Remembrance.
Oh.
So, yeah. So the purpose of Transgender Day of Remembrance is to note the people in the transgender community that have lost their lives because of anti-trans violence. So just letting everyone know, dropped a link into the chat, and so you can go check it out and learn more. But wanted mm-hmm. everyone to know. Okay, so now cool things. Oh my God, Patrice, I just saw your link. Tell us about your cool thing.
So mine is actually a movie that is coming out, I think March 20th next year. It is Project Hail Mary. It's a really good. It's a really good book from the guy from The Martian, mm-hmm. Andy Weir. Is his name? I always blanked on
Andy
it.
Andy Weir.
Yeah.
Andy Weir. Yeah.
Yes. Really, really cool book. I was looking forward to this turning into a TV show, a movie, or something, because it is just so cool and so interesting, and I love that storyline. And they're making one. There was a trailer drop, which is why this is my cool thing. It will star Ryan Gosling as the main guy. And if you haven't read the book, I'm not going to tell you, but it's a cool story.
It's a really good story.
It's a sci-fi story, but it's a really cool story. And I'm looking forward to what they made out of the book. Yeah. I saw in the trailer they kept some of the really funny things in it. So just say.
Only in theaters and IMAX.
Yes. Which is also the only way you should see it. To be honest, it's also this is a space thing. This is the only way you should see it in IMAX.
Yeah, these kind of movies are best in theater. I heard a story about IMAX and the fact this is in the U.S. There's a, you know, the company that owns IMAX and the theaters where the IMAX is placed, equipment is placed.
Mm-hmm.
He basically has a scheduling, you know, a calendar for what movies are going to go into mm-hmm. which theaters. That goes for like 24 months out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's, they call this guy the most important person in Hollywood you'd never heard of, because he's the guy you got to convince to get your movie into IMAX at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that apparently turned down Taylor Swift to put her concert movie on IMAX. He said, no, for books, sorry.
Interesting.
So the fact that it's on IMAX is a good sign. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously The Martian was huge and Andy Weir is pretty popular. The book was popular, so he got into IMAX. And like you said, it's perfect for IMAX.
It is, yeah. As I said, I'm very much looking forward to it. It's like...
That looks
I'm excited
really
for
good.
This
I must
too.
Admit that I just looked at the sound off and it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. As I said, there's some little jokes that were in the book that they kept in.
Definitely, I could see the thing. We'd be great if you didn't die. And all of that stuff, and it was some nice. Yeah. I mean, I'm slightly. There's one character I'm surprised they've shown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm in tiny little bits,
but yeah, I'm surprised because that's quite a nice reveal as that comes through the story. Because I really love the.
But you don't know. You don't know what you're seeing.
You know, there's no context to it.
We know because we've read the story.
Well, it seems then to Rocky. There's no context to Rocky. Shrek, I see, is there, and she has the look that I'd expect to have. Mm-hmm. That's been cast well.
Yeah, the casting was, I mean, Ryan Gosling works really well, I think, for this type of character.
I agree.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to seeing this.
Yes. I probably will need tissues, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's a safe bet. Yeah. Okay. So, Ian, your turn.
Yeah. It isn't as cool as that, but it is useful. So, I think both myself and I think Patrice occasionally uses these earlier monitors, the cheapy ones made by a company called Yinyu.
Yinyu.
They've now released abilities to convert them to Bluetooth.
Oh, interesting.
So you get a little box and a set of basically the cables and everything you need. All you do is you unplug the monitor that you've already got straight into the end of the cable.
Yeah, it's just a cable, basically, that does the Bluetooth.
And sits over the back of your ear. So
nice.
That's fantastic. That's so cool. Because these are really comfortable. And
oh, they're good. Yeah,
they're really comfortable. And so the cable has a universal end, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I stumbled upon them really randomly, and it's really great for very little money. I mean, the headphones themselves are £20.
Something like that, yeah.
The Bluetooth box, £20.
Yeah.
And for what they are, they are completely neutral sound.
Yeah,
in-ear monitors are not intended for bass to blow your brains out or anything like that. They're great for podcasting.
Exactly, perfect for that. Yeah, I wear them all the time. Like, I wear them all day, like literally all day. I'm at work, meetings, all of it.
Yeah, I was until they got uncomfortable in my ears, and I thought this might be a good solution. These are great when I've got the cans I've got on now, but like eventually going to get hot ears.
Hot ears.
But they are great. They are audibly
cans and hot ears. There's a show title.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Ian, you need little chimneys on your cans.
Central heating on my cans. They're not good. So I should give that. I've had a couple of goes with these. They're working incredibly easy to set up and work well. I can't but recommend them.
That's very cool.
Yinyu AZ09 is what it is. It's the little kit that you can convert your cabled headphones into Bluetooth ones.
And for those of you outside the UK, that would be AZ.
Yes.
No. That's the way it's said on there.
Yes.
There's no double E there.
AZ.
I had to do. Do you know something? I was talking to my American colleagues, and I had to translate that.
Really?
That doesn't surprise me. There are a lot of little nuanced differences like that most people in the United States would not understand because they don't look beyond their tiny little bubble for English.
He's a trainer like me. His brain is a tiny little bubble.
Yep.
I make Americans incredibly intelligent and clever. I'm talking to the crew of them now.
Yeah.
And there's some that it feels like I need a hammer to drive any ideas into their heads.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, there's also people like that in the UK and in basically every other country. You've met some Austrians? I don't know.
Yeah. There's some people I meet, but I remember this thing we were going through. There's an event happening and we're trying to organize it. One of my colleagues doing the organizing. And she'd just been doing a group of Americans and stuff. And then she came over to our group and she goes, so I have to tell you four times the same thing. I don't have to keep repeating myself and then people eventually get it.
Yeah.
So the idea hammer is definitely a thing. All the ideas, when you go along, smack some, go on, you believe me. Honestly.
Yes.
Yeah. Now you have a better understanding of the cross that Tom and I bear.
Yes, yeah. Every day.
I met you two, and I don't understand you. I mean, other people that don't have a modicum of critical thinking skills or thinking outside their
brain. Common sense is unfortunately not so common.
Yeah.
No.
That isn't true. That's true enough here, the amount of nickel druggers I make. That's true enough here. But there's a different kind of... And the worst thing is these people are smart. So it's kind of I don't understand it. They are smart.
No, they think they're smart. Exactly. They think they're smart. That's the difference.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Well, speaking of smart, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Tom.
Tell us about your cool thing.
My cool smart thing Tom. is a Netflix show, The Gentlemen. It's a series. So The Gentleman was a movie 3-4 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so they made a series. It has, I forget how many episodes, like 6, I think.
Yeah, and it's got Guy Ritchie. It's a 8. Guy Ritchie. It's a Guy Ritchie show.
Right.
So Rob Stock, The Smoking Barrels, Snatch, all of that kind of styly.
Oh, it has Giancarlo Esposito in it.
Right. So the script is great. The cinematography is really well done, just super high quality, and the acting is really good as well.
Yeah. And for the British audience, it also has Vinnie Jones in, the famous footballer. This means nothing to the rest of you, but
who did he play for?
He played for various teams over the years. Leeds.
What kind of sports is that?
Football, footy. Soccer, football.
Okay,
the proper football, like, not the American.
Could have
been
anything.
Football.
Could have been anything.
Proper football. Proper football. Vinnie Jones.
Anyway, I love the bake. You know, the premise of the story is good, and I actually liked it better than the movie. I thought it was better done than the movie.
Well, oftentimes there's more you can do when you do it as a series.
Yeah, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours just wasn't enough to tell the story, you know, and they just sort of zoomed through the whole story really fast. Anyway, so, The Gentleman on Netflix.
Okay.
Well, Tom, I'm going to follow along with the setup that Patrice gave us, and you carried through. Ian, yours fits in as well because you need to be able to hear the quality entertainment. So I'm following up with a TV show where I know I'm late to the game on this. It's Landman, and it's on Paramount Plus.
Well,
I just recently discovered this. It launched in 2024. There are 2 seasons out now. I'm 3 episodes in, and Billy Bob Thornton, he's the lead, and he plays he's like a site manager for a large oil company, and so this is in Texas, and he has to deal with all of the stuff that goes along with the absolute craziness that goes along with trying to manage all these wells, get to the rights to be able to put a well in someplace or a pump, and dealing with all the locals, and the which also includes like the local gangs, and then on top of all of this crap he has to deal with, he also has to deal with his kind of neurotic ex-wife and his dysfunctional adult children, and it's just absolutely wonderful. It's like the 3 episodes that I've seen, it's like, yep, this is probably exactly the hell your life is if you're deep into the oil industry in Texas.
You're in Texas.
And I mean, his life is just horrible. Absolutely horrible. And he knows it, but he's also really good at what he does. And Billy Bob Thornton, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, we like Billy Bob. He's really
great
good.
In everything he does.
Good. Yeah, he's really good.
So, Paramount Plus, Landman, 2 seasons, and also has John Hamm and Demi Moore in it.
Mm-hmm.
John Hamm plays like the CEO of the oil company, and Demi Moore plays John Hamm's wife.
Landman.
Michael Peña.
You have to pronounce it the Texan way.
Landman.
Yeah. I will share a kind of running joke that it doesn't ruin the show for you at all. But his character, he doesn't drink alcohol. He's a recovering alcoholic. But he drinks Miller Ultra beer, like soda pop. And it's because he's like, this isn't even alcohol. So, yeah, he goes to the bar. He has Miller Ultra. Or not Miller, Michelob Ultra. And there's bottles of it in the fridge. And it's just, yeah, this isn't drinking alcohol. It's okay for me to have this. So, all right. It is about time to wrap up. So thank you to the three of you for just being absolutely fantastically awesome people and great friends. And actually, PSA, speaking of friends, Thanksgiving holiday in the United States is next Thursday. I will not be here. Tom, I presume because you don't want to sleep on the couch, you will not be here either.
And I'll be in Romania, so it looks like we won't have a show.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Good. I forgot about that too. Yeah, okay.
Well, so we may or may not have a show next week. Probably not, but we will see. So with that, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, not on the couch next week, I guess. I don't know. Not on Tom's couch either.
Yeah.
No.
You're invited to come anytime.
Yeah. You can come here. Bring Thanksgiving. Okay. Bring your dinner. Bring everybody. We'll have dinner here.
Okay.
I love this plan.
I love this plan too. No, every week here on the British Tech Network, Big Show and Mac Show. So you'll see me tomorrow as well, if you're watching the show at least, if you're interested. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. And yeah, I have a really cool show with a certain Jeff Gamet. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a really, really interesting person. Dodgy.
I only know him by reputation. So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Dodgy.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, we do retro rewatch together, a TV show. We rewatch retro TV shows. Right now we are still rewatching Stargate SG-1, and I can tell you something, there will be a foothold situation tomorrow evening when I post the episode.
Ooh. That sounds exciting. I can't wait to listen to the episode and see what that's all about. Awesome. All right. Ian, where can people find you?
Not here next week because I'll be in Romania, but normally I can be found here every Thursday otherwise on the Big Show. If not, you see me sometimes in the our Slack chat room. I post on LinkedIn. My name's Ian Grant and I work for Veeam. I'm getting a rock star point of my name on my my animation. So that's the other place to see me. That's the most of it. As a bit like Patrice now, I'm slowly winding back from all kinds of socials because, to be honest, I don't need it. Don't need it in my life at all. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. And Tom, Mr. Social Media, where can people find you?
Mr. Social Media.
Mr. Social Media. I mean, to be fair, he did introduce me to Mastodon, I have to say.
Well, there you go.
I did. I was the one.
Yeah, you were the one.
So this is your fault.
It's totally your fault. 100%.
People, that's about the only, you know, I don't do Facebook, Instagram. I never got on the Blue Sky thing. I stopped Twitter a couple years ago. I kind of miss Instagram a little bit. That's the one I miss. I don't miss the other ones. Anyway, I am Tom F. at sfda.social on John Mastodon's social network.
Awesome. All right. And then I'm Jay Gamet on all the various social medias. Although I realized a while ago, not on LinkedIn. I'm actually Jeff Gamet on LinkedIn. And I don't know what my logic was for doing that. I don't know. Because I'm all about consistency. Anyhow, yeah, so Blue Sky, Mastodon, and PixelFed, that's where most of my stuff is going. And Tom, the reason I can post on multiple social media platforms like that is because I use Fedica, which auto-posts all of them for me. Otherwise, I probably would have just been like, you know, screw it. I'm not doing any social media. If it's work, I better be getting paid for it. Get paid for social media. Let's see. I totally lost track of what I was doing. Oh, yeah, shows. Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays, Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS. Here on the British Tech Network for The Big Show on Thursdays and The Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. So with that, thank you again to the three of you for being just absolutely fantastic. And everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this. Everyone that watches and listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of our family as well. Speaking of family, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Odd Technologies, thank you for being our sponsor. And with that, don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac Show. Come back next week when we'll see if we have a Thanksgiving edition show. But then we'll be back on Friday for sure for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.